Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord be with you. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. We hear these words. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is an isolated area." And so he got up and went, and there was a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, was in charge of all her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was on his way home, sitting in his chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go over there and stay close to that chariot." And Philip ran up to it and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man replied, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading was this. It's from Isaiah 53. He says, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will talk about his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began to speak, starting with that very passage of scripture. And he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were traveling along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they stepped up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The eunuch did not see him anymore, but went on his way rejoicing. And Philip, however, found himself at Azotus, and he went from place to place, and he preached the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. God's word is truth. Amen. Two worlds collide. That's what we like to see. Whether it's the world of Montague and Capulet, or East meets West in boxing, hockey, or even the American barbecue showdown. You know, when you have two worlds collide, you always expect it to be a clash of the titans, so to speak. And yet, in this account today, the two worlds collide and become one in Christ. Two opposite worlds meet on a desert road, and one brings the other into the kingdom of God by grace. You had the world of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a part of the queen's cabinet for the country of Nubia, present-day Syria. Power, prestige, and the best of high-class society surrounded. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to learn more about God. Now, from Khartoum, Sudan, to Jerusalem in Israel is an 11-hour and 50-minute flight by plane. If you are in a car and ferry, it's about 58 hours. By boat and chariot like this man, I have no idea, but it's got to be certainly more than a week, probably more than two. And he went to Jerusalem. He couldn't even enter the temple area because he was a Gentile and a eunuch, and yet he came to worship the Lord outside the temple anyway. And perhaps he had bought some papyrus of the sacred text while in Jerusalem, or had them from before. This is expensive. While on his journey, he opened the scroll and started to read out loud. It appears as if it's part of the Septuagint, the Old Testament that was translated into Greek. You know, I guess the guy didn't have motion sickness. He could do that. But he had the scroll opened to Isaiah 53, and he asked a good Lutheran question. What does this mean? It was a man who was searching for God in the right place, in the scriptures. And yet it was all still a mystery. But not for long. You had the world of Philip. He was a Jewish man from Galilee, most likely a fisherman. He was one of the very first disciples of Jesus. He knew his scripture, and he knew his Savior. The time frame when these two worlds collided, it was after Easter. It was after Jesus ascended into heaven. It was after Pentecost. The church was being heavily persecuted and many Christians scattered abroad to avoid persecution and death. Philip went to Samaria, an area between Jerusalem and Galilee, and began a thriving ministry. And the ministry of the gospel was growing so much that the apostles Peter and John came to help out for a time. And there was so much mission work to do, and mission churches began to sprout up all over the place. An angel of the Lord came to Philip and told him to give up this thriving mission work for a time and to become a missionary of one man. And Philip left the hustle and bustle of a multi-site ministry and traveled down a desert road. A chariot comes by and the Holy Spirit tells Philip to glue himself to that chariot. And Philip heard the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah. Philip opened his mouth. "Do you understand what you are reading?" "Well, how can I?" he said. "Unless someone explains it to me." And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The Ethiopian was reading but not understanding. He was lost in Scripture. I mean, he knew all that there was to know about the numbers of Nubia's treasury. He was a part of high-class society. He was a learned man. And yet, on this desert road, he asked a poor, lowly disciple of Jesus to step on board to reveal Scripture to him. And the portion of Scripture which was read was this. "It was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who will talk about his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?" I mean, this is Isaiah 53. And the Ethiopian has questions, and Philip begins right there to tell him the good news about Jesus. And this takes us to Good Friday. In that very chapter of Scripture, you have Jesus on the cross, and it tells us the why of the cross. It was for Christ to pay for our sins. It was for Christ to take upon himself our punishment. It was for Christ to earn our peace. Philip began with that message and told him the whole story. Jesus came and did those very things. And yet the cross wasn't the end of Christ. He rose from the grave on Easter morning. He ascended into heaven. And the Holy Spirit opens the Scriptures. He works faith into the heart of this Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian asks to be baptized in the name of the triune God for the forgiveness of sins. And he is baptized. And perhaps at one of the very few streams on this desert road. Then the two worlds depart. The Ethiopian rejoices in his faith and brings it with him to his homeland. And at the beginning of our text, he was perplexed about God, and now understanding salvation that Jesus brings to every nation, tribe, people, and language through faith, he couldn't stop praising God. He rejoices in his Savior and in his salvation. Tradition has it that there are Christians in Ethiopia that go back to this very point in time. Philip goes on his way to continue preaching the gospel wherever God leads him. In the big picture, grace at Gaza. A man was searching for the Savior, and he was searching in the right place in the Scripture. And God worked through a person, just one person, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with another. Evangelism for one on a desert road. What does grace look like a block down from your road? From Ryle to Windsor, from Leeds to Lodi, what does it look like? God took Philip away from the madness of a busy world to make time to share the gospel with one person. Do we take the time out of this busy life to share the gospel with one person? Man, what if Philip told the Lord, "You know, I'm too busy," as we often do? What if Philip told the Lord, "I'm too important," as we often do? May the Lord forgive us for missed opportunities to share his word to those who seek it and those who need it. And the Lord certainly does forgive, and that is why he came. And it is the power of his message. And may the Lord direct our eyes to see one who needs Jesus and to open our mouths to speak. And you don't have to go far, just down the road. Whether you are 5, 50, or 95, the Lord places mission opportunities before you. It is the work of the church. We are the church. It is our work. Two worlds collide every time you walk out these doors and into the lives of people who don't know about their Savior. And there are two worlds. There are those who know the Lord and those who seek the Lord. And you might say that you know people who run away from the Lord, who do seek everything except Jesus. Yet there are those who fill themselves with the incessant sound to muffle the despairing cry of their own soul. But you have to understand, when the silence comes, perhaps on a lonely desert road, God calls out to them that they might seek him out. On the travels of those who seek the Lord, may the Holy Spirit lead you beside them, beside their chariot, so to speak. And pray for the opportunity and a little prod so that you may share the good news about Jesus. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.